Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up, and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch cats.
We're back,
fish,
folks.
From dusk till
and I'm hanging on to you too long. Charles, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Let me give you some good news. Yeah, well, hang on. Let me give you some good news to cheer you up. And I won't have to yell with this one. You might be more proper in your diction and in your etiquette than I am, so I hope I don't offend you. But I'm sure he'll be happy by the sentiment here. I just saw a headline during the break while you and I were waiting to go back on the air. I didn't watch it. I saw the beginning of it, and I saw this huge crowd at the Virginia Tech game. It looked like, wow, this is a really spirited crowd. Everybody's going wild. The whole thing looked wonderful. But you know what happened after the game began at Virginia Tech?
No.
The crowd, it's a huge crowd. Huge crowd. People wearing Trump hats. Huge crowd. They started chanting.
Oh, I missed it.
They started chanting, F you blank blank Joe Biden. F you blank blank Joe Biden. Huge crowd yelling, screw Joe Biden, only with the F word. Tens of thousands of them. And now, get this, it gets even better. It's not a Virginia Tech phenomenon. Here's another game. This is breaking out everywhere. Here's one at the game played by, let me see, here's the next game here. Coastal Carolina, same thing. F blank 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 Joe Biden. I haven't found the video of this, or I'd play it. I play something of it on the air here. But guess what? You know what they're doing? Of course, Charles. Do you think that the video, the YouTubes are surviving on YouTube? Do you think they're surviving on Twitter? These, you know, 100,000 people. Do you think chanting F Joe Biden?
They have a way of disappearing.
They have a funny way of disappearing. Yeah, it never happened. Yeah, the memory hole.
Yeah, it didn't happen. Down the memory hole.
That's right. We just get a big sucking sound. And folks, that's what we've got to do. We got to stay together. And by the way, when you get to your next game or whatever it is, then you start the chant, ladies and gentlemen. You start it. Get it going. The crowd is going to join you. F Joe Biden. They're going to join you with that. Now, Donald Trump's going to see that. Let's connect this back up with Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a man of the people. He is our populist president. He listens to us. And I've noted this. I've been to four of his rallies. And I'm telling you, this is very well authenticated by people who close to Donald Trump. These rallies are his lifeblood. And he is listening to us. When we're in the crowd there, we're yelling, we're screaming, we're cheering him. He is absorbing his energy from us. He is finding out, he is gauging from us. He is truly a man of the people. He is listening to the intensity with which we yell. He is listening to the intensity with which we boo. And he's paying attention. He values it. He's not like every other damn politician you've ever seen who is completely contemptuous of you. This man loves you. And he believes in you, and he is there to represent you. And so now Twitter and, you know, YouTube, they're making this disappear. But if the president can see this, if he can hear this, He understands. Okay, they don't like the vaccine. They really don't like Joe Biden. And we need the president to do as he's always done: swing for the fences, Mr. President. Don't hold back. We can handle the truth. We can handle it. We are the people that can handle the truth. This is your movement that you've created. Those people that can't handle the truth, forget about them. As they say in New Jersey,
Looks like Biden's talking about bringing UN troops in here. This is like years ago when I was in the Bird Society in the 60s. It's coming true.
Yes, it's coming true. Hey, you're talking to a fellow Bircher.
It isn't going to be FEMA camps. It's going to be CDC camps.
Yes.
You know, FEMA camps. They probably were real. I'm sure they were real.
Right. They still are real,
but they're CDC camps now.
Right.
They're building them all over. They're building them.
We are staring right down the barrel of communism right now. And folks,
right.
And I assure you, ladies and gentlemen, your First Amendment is gone. Your Second Amendment will soon follow. Joe Biden, you saw this creep Walensky, Rochelle Walensky, the head of the CDC. What a scary creature. I mean, what a face. What a communist, Rochelle Walensky. She has now said that the CDC, which I call the Center for Disease and Corruption, she is the head.
Demon rat control.
She's going after your guns.
Demon rat control.
Yeah, demon rat control. She's somehow managed to expand her mission at the CDC to I'm gonna get your guns. She just announced that in this contemptuous, smirking comment that she made on controlled news. And this, folks, this is, you know, last week my theme was the good news is the bad news. And by the way, hang on, Mitch in Memphis, if you're still there. I'm going to get to you in just a moment, Mitch. And thank you. I want to thank you for your brilliance, Charles.
Thank you.
Stay with me. We stay for just a second. The good news is the bad news. The left is going so all out. They can't control themselves. They're in a frenzy right now. And this is waking people up. And that sign I just gave you, that was a sign at these football games. The people aren't just sitting in the stands going, yay, go Virginia Tech, yay, go Coastal Carolina, yay. No, that's not what they're doing. The hell with the football. They're chanting F Joe Biden. The crowd of 50,000 people, F Joe Biden, F Joe Biden. And folks, that's the resistance.
Hope it spreads.
Yeah, and folks, you know, I know your mother taught you, you know, and your pappy taught you, you know, don't use that word. We don't use that word in this family. You know, okay, folks, we're using that word now, okay? Because we have to. This is war. This is lethal combat. This is not a time for Marcus of Queensberry rules, okay? The other side, they're not playing nice. I've told the story once before. I was playing basketball in high school with a truly evil kid was on the other team. A truly evil kid, which is what the left is made of. And by the way, somebody just did a poll recently of the difference between left-wingers and right-wingers like us. And you know what they found? I should have had that poll ready for the show here today. They found out that left-wingers actually are evil people. They found out they don't give to charity. They like to lie. They cheat. They don't like to work. I mean, I don't know who came up with this poll, but they found out exactly what all of us know. Left-wingers are creeps, and that's where they come from. They don't need to have a conspiracy or a plot. The left, the demon rats, they are simply the totality of evil people in the world. And of course, everything they do seems to be coordinated because they're all the same. They're all evil creeps. And I was playing basketball against one of these people. And so I'm playing by the Marcus of Queensberry's rules, you know, bouncing the ball. You know, don't double dribble. Don't double dribble. The guy that was facing me, I'm dribbling the ball. The guy in front of me, he sees that I'm playing by the rules and I'm a nice little kid. He rears back and kicks me right in the nuts. You know, because I'm standing there with my legs spread apart and dribbling the ball. He's evil. He wanted to see me writhing in pain on the asphalt. And he did. That was one of my first experiences of pure evil. Pure evil. I wonder where that criminal person is today. But he loved watching me writhe in the most pain I'd ever experienced up to that moment. He kicked me as hard as he could right in the nuts in my gym shorts. No protection. Now, that's what we're up against, folks. So there's no more Mr. Nice Guy. I'm not recommending that you kick people in the nuts. I'm not recommending that. I am recommending that if you're in a stadium and they start chanting F Joe Biden, hey, join in. Don't say boo on Joe Biden. Say F Joe Biden, because it communicates your degree of anger. And the president has caught on to that, because in his last speech in Coleman, Alabama, he said, I think it was at that rally, he said, I'm going to use a four-letter word that starts with S here. And maybe I'm not supposed to use this word on the radio, which is so silly. But he said, everything that's woke turns to S-H-I, fill in the last letter. He said it to the crowd and they loved it. Everything that's woke turns to, and even Sean Hannity is using the word. He doesn't use S-H-I, new letter. Sean Hannity calls it, who's that guy? Schiff, Adam Schiff. He says everything turns to...
Yeah, I've heard it.
Yeah, he calls it turns to
that's
shift.
That's funny.
Yeah, he's using the word shift. But what Sean Hannity...
Yeah, he's up Schiff Creek.
He's up Schiff Creek,
without
yeah.
Without a paddle.
So, exactly, that's right. So, folks, you got to use these words. It's no more Mr. Nice Guy. The other side wants to kill you, and maybe that's okay with you, but they want to kill your children, too. And I know that's not okay with you. So... we have to fight like hell, and we're it. The Aussies aren't going to do it for us. The Canadians, what a disappointment the Canadians are. My God, they're rolling over like you wouldn't believe. Now, fortunately, we do see some...
I don't know. They're going after the premier of Canada in the town, though.
Let me qualify that. They're really telling him
to go to hell.
Yes. We are seeing wonderful...
I understand.
Wonderful video out of Germany and Canada and Australia. Of patriots just like you. We do have patriots in those countries, and they are protesting loudly, and they're willing to go out there, and they're willing to have the police beating them up. So I don't want to be too hard on our cousins and our fellow
Anglosphere members.
Yeah, the Anglosphere. Yeah, isn't it funny, folks? Exactly.
Anglosphere.
And isn't it strange, folks? Notice that not in the Anglosphere, the Japanese and the Indians have more common sense than we do, and they're not taking the vaccine crap. So,
right.
I'm not dispensing no medical advice dispensed here, but folks, I've heard these people, the Japanese, ahead of the Japanese, and I have my package of ivermectin from India. I had to get it from India. Okay, and I'm like, I think Alex Jones was taking ivermectin. My daughter told me, hey, Dad, I watched Alex Jones take some ivermectin on TV. And his dad took it and immediately felt better when he contracted the COVID-19. So, but anyway, Charles, I love you, brother. Thank you very much for calling in.
And
did you have any other thought? I'm talking like crazy, so I probably talked over you. Is there something else you wanted to tell your audience?
All right. Okay, bye.
All right, thanks, buddy. Call again, and I promise to try to give you more time next time. All right, let's go to Mitch in Memphis if I haven't scared him off the air.
James Kelso. Mitch?
Hey, Mitch, thank you, buddy. Thank you for waiting. You probably got a cauliflower ear from waiting so long.
Well, I called you last week, and we had a good time. James, let's see if we can have a conversation this time. You know, by the way, I think that's the longest I've ever waited on hold to get on a talk show. But I'm sure it's important for you to share with the audience, little stories. You know, spend 20 minutes talking about getting kicked in the nuts when you were in grade school. But at any rate,
it hurt worse in high school. Go ahead.
You're going to argue about that, huh? All right, look. Earlier you were talking about Trump.
Yes.
And his blunderous statement at the Alabama rally.
Yes.
You were expanding upon and agreeing with what I was saying last week. You were early on your show today. You were agreeing with what I was saying last week. About Donald Trump's ridiculous endorsement. And then when I got off the phone, you on the air called me an idiot twice.
Okay. Well,
now I'm not going to melt. Like your Wicked Witch of the West reference, I'm not going to melt. But,
let me call
you. I think
let
that's a little rant to call somebody an idiot when they're not on the phone to defend themselves. Go ahead.
Okay. I think you hung up. I don't think we hung up on you. But the
let's argue about it.
Okay. All right. The because my engineer said Mitch is gone. Okay. Now the I would be happy to debate with you.
I'm
right now.
Go ahead.
I'm right here. Okay. Now here's what you said last week, to which I took offense. Okay. You said, Kelso, when are you going to give up on Trump? Okay.
Question still stands. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. And so that's an accurate quote, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
And I just said the question still stands. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. The answer is never. Okay. And the reason is this.
And my response is, I'm sorry to hear that. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Now, and the Donald Trump, I played the full segment where he, said, I got the vaccine and so on. The crowd booed. He said, you've got your freedom. He said, I'm going to defend your freedom. I believe in your freedom. You don't have to take any vaccine. All that was very good. And now he has to change what he's delivering. Yeah, where you were right is that his endorsement of the vaccine is a mistake. That is a mistake.
I agree.
And you're correct in that. But I mean, that's something, bears do it in the woods. Okay. We all know that's a mistake. There's nobody that thinks Donald Trump and nobody in our movement thinks the vaccines are great, including Donald Trump. I assure you.
Let me ask you, James, because
here's why my criticism of you is, and this happens on other issues with other people, not you. Okay. Donald Trump may somehow make some statement or take some position that somebody in our movement. Okay. And I apologize if you're actually part of our movement. I'm sensing you are. Okay. I apologize if I was too sweeping in my condemnation of you. I apologize. But here's what I criticize people in our movement. I've done this all the time. I've done it for years. Okay. In our movement, we throw our own people into the fire. We find something that we don't like about what they said, and we go, Kelso, when are you going to give up on this guy? When are you going to give up on this? He's no good. He's horrible. To hell with Trump. He's wrong on the vaccines. He is wrong on the vaccines. Okay. But we don't throw him into the fire.
Okay, James. Some are claiming, as the saying goes, that this vaccine issue is the hill to die on. This is it. This is the big one.
Yes, and he took your
this
same
is the
position.
Biggest issue
yes,
of our time.
I like what Dan Bongino said. He said that's a hill I'll die on. He said. Okay.
Well, right. Okay. So the question is regarding Donald Trump. I'm going to ask you because you seem to know all things Trump. Does Donald Trump consider the COVID vaccines to be properly tested and 100% safe for human usage, or is Donald Trump of the opinion that the COVID vaccines are risky and need more testing before being given to the people? Which one is it?
Okay, I'm going to answer. I'm going to answer even more than you ask there. Okay.
And I have one more thing I want to bring
you,
to your attention.
I assure
think
you,
that you're,
Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a real, genuine genius. And I say that as a guy with an IQ of 150, tested, okay, a member of Mensa. He puts me in the shade. He is much smarter than I am. He is a genuine genius.
What'd you say, Donald Trump's IQ is 150?
Above that.
What is it exactly?
Above my, it's above mine, that's for sure. Here's my point. Here's my point.
Whatever.
So I have a hard time giving him advice because he's smarter than I am. And wiser. Now, Donald Trump is reading the same stuff you're reading and I'm reading, and I actually doubt that he's taken the vaccine. I don't think he has. One of his attorneys, Robert Barnes, doesn't think he's actually taken it. But that's neither here nor there. That's just
so we
gossip.
Don't know. Does he?
Now hang on. Stay with me, Mitch. I don't want to lose you because I want to fully answer your question after this break. Stay with me.
best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks.
Some folks call me a rambling man. I do a lot of thumbing and kicking cans, and it wouldn't do an ounce of good to call my name, 'cause daddy's name wasn't Willie Woodrow, and I wasn't born and raised in no ghetto.
Actually, my dad's name was James Woodrow. Actually was. Anyway, we got Mitch on the phone with us from Memphis. And Mitch, I'm answering your question right now. The let's see. No, I don't think Donald Trump loves the vaccines. And I think he's as aware or close to it as you are and I am that they are turning out to be bioweapons. Now, you didn't know that in advance. I didn't know that in advance. Nobody did. It could have been. I'll give you an example. I'm going to play a little later in the show here. I'm going to play a great doctor in mid-state Indiana named Dr. Dan Stock. And he's talking about this, the vaccine and the COVID-19 and so on. And he says, I'm not anti-vaccine, he says, as a doctor. He says, you know, I administer and I would take myself and my children have had their MMR vaccine. What is that? Measles, mumps, and rubella? Is that what MMR is? I don't know. I haven't had it. But he said, the MMR vaccine, I would give that to my own children. And I have. That's a vaccine. The idea of vaccine, vaccines are not inherently bioweapons. Now, this vaccine, these vaccines do appear to be bioweapons. Trump doesn't know that. When he was pushing them to develop them, he was mistakenly trusting the SOBs in our medical establishment in Washington, D.C., run by Fauci. He was trusting them to make something like the MMR vaccine that, in fact, is not a bioweapon. Now, we're all finding out, including you. We don't want to be know-it-alls. You didn't know it in advance. I didn't know it in advance. But as this unfolds for you, me, and for Donald Trump, we're finding out these things are much, there is lethality to these that is mind-boggling. So to answer your question, does Donald Trump think they're perfectly safe and they've been safety tested? Of course not. There isn't any safety testing done on these things. But that's not Donald Trump's fault. So no, we don't throw away our leader. We don't, and no, by the way, let me make one more point. This might appeal to you, the logic of this. William Wallace was a great leader. Stonewall Jackson was a great leader. These are brave, brave men who fought to the death and who risked their lives constantly, as is Donald Trump risking his life. And he's been doing it ever since he came down that escalator. He wasn't risking his life when he had the comfortable life before he came down the escalator. He's been in harm's way, in great peril, ever since he came down the escalator. One of the most imperiled peace people in the world, far more at risk than you or myself. The Stonewall Jackson, a great leader, the bravest of leaders, has to have his army with him. William Wallace doesn't just charge out at the enemy by himself. No, he rode in front of his, you've seen the movie Braveheart, he has to ride in front of his troops who are saying, we don't want to go. We don't want to die today. We need to go home to our wives and children. William Wallace had to motivate his army to charge the enemy with him. It's a suicide mission to go on his own. Donald Trump is the same way. Stonewall Jackson can't just charge, you know, at the Yankee armies. He's got to have his men with him. So the greatest aspect of a great leader, Stonewall Jackson, there he stood, there he stands like a great stone wall, you know, and William Wallace, you know, lightning balls emit from my ass, you know, that's great leadership. And Donald Trump does the same thing. He's doing it with you. He's doing it with me. He has to know what we, the army, when Donald Trump was standing in front of that crowd in Cullman, Alabama, he was just like William Wallace in front of the Scots. And he is listening to them, and they're talking to him, calling him. When Donald Trump realizes that his army is willing to march, that we will march on this question of the vaccines, we will say hell no. When Donald Trump knows that the army is with him, he will lead us in exactly that direction. But we can't, you know, say to Stonewall Jackson or, you know, William Wallace, who've led us to victory in battle after battle, we in the army can't say, oh, go to hell, William. You know, to hell with you, Stonewall. You want to get us killed. You want to take us into a fight. They need to know that we're with them. And Donald Trump is learning that. And I think right now, to answer your question, I hope I'm answering it, Mitch, is that Donald Trump, the next time we hear him at the next rally, and you let's talk about this the next time it happens, at his next big rally, Donald Trump is not going to want to hear boos for any enthusiasm about the vaccine. And I don't think he will, because I don't think he's going to say anything nice about the vaccines. How do you like them apples? Did I lose Mitch? I think I did. Well, Mitch, we'll see how that turns out. Let's go to another caller, Jason in Arizona. Oh, we still have Mitch. Mitch, what's your reaction to what I just said? Oh, Mitch is gone. Okay, Mitch is gone. All right. Well, we still love you, Mitch. Jason in Arizona, what's on your mind?
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'd just like to say I've been listening to your show since you started it. Was that 2015 after Trump announced when you first started?
Yes. Now, stay there. Jason, I really love you. You stay right there. We'll be right back.
Hey, thank you.
Through the dust and the smoke of this man-made hell walked a giant of a man that the miners knew well, grabbed a sagging timber, gave out with a groan, and like a giant oak tree just stood there alone, Big John.
Big John. I want the truth! You can't have handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Why don't we liberate these United States? We're the ones who need it worst. Let the rest of the world help us for change, and let's rebuild America first. Our highways and bridges are falling apart. Who's blessed and who has been cursed? There's things to be done all over the world, but let's rebuild America first.
Patriot Radio's got to be done with chewing gum and baling wire, because we don't have George Soros's money, do we? We just have yours, the little bit that you guys send in. We love you for it, but man, we're fighting with. You know what we look like, ladies and gentlemen? And Jason, are you there with me?
Yeah, I'm here. If you can hear me.
Okay, yeah, I can hear you perfectly, Jason. I'll tell you what we look like, folks. I've got them up, and I've got a bunch of screens all around me, and I've got up on a big screen next to me here. I've got the picture, the image of the Scots Patriots, who are arrayed on a hill there in Scotland, about to fight the English dictator who wanted to wipe them out, wipe them off the face of the earth. And we look like that crowd of Scotsmen, folks. And I think many of you out there in this audience, you're actually descendants, as am I, of those Scotsmen, including one of those Scotsmen that you may be a descendant of, and I'm among that group, William Wallace. William Wallace's blood flows in my veins, a little bit of it. And those Scotsmen are a ragtag group of patriots. They don't have George Soros's money. They don't have fancy uniforms. They don't have fancy chainmail. They don't have fancy big chargers. They don't have big fancy lances and shiny swords. They're fighting with stuff they brought from their, you know, their very modest little home where their wife and children are. And some of these Scots are kids. They are the children, and they're there to fight for their country. But now here's what I want to do, and I'm going to get back to you, Jason, because I want to hear you were saying some good things. But I want to play a little clip for you and for the whole audience that tells our story. In this story, William Wallace is Donald Trump, and you folks are the Scots on the hillside there. And if you remember the movie Braveheart, and if you haven't seen the movie Braveheart, you need to go. Have you seen it, Jason?
I'm sorry, seen what? I can barely hear you.
Have you watched the movie Braveheart?
A long time ago, yes, but I stopped watching movies because I don't like paying money to those perverts.
Oh, no, you can watch it on your computer.
Not Mel Gibson, but the rest of Hollywood, I pretty much don't.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you can count the movies I've seen in a theater in the last 30 years on one hand, but still have fingers left over. But you watch it online. Folks, watch the movie Braveheart. And we need Mel Gibson, by the way. We need him to come back. I used to live right next to a couple blocks away from Mel Gibson's office in Santa Monica. We need a great patriot movie from you, Mel. Come on, Mel. We need another one. We need another The Patriot. We need another Braveheart. But anyway, in the movie, Mel Gibson playing William Wallace has got that blue paint on his face, his war paint. And his mission, all you folks out there, you're the Scots, and Donald Trump is Wallace with the blue paint. He has to make sure that you, the army, that you can fight with him and beat the enemy. That's his job as a general, as your leader. His job is not to charge off across the meadow there and get himself slaughtered by, 20,000 enemy. An overwhelming force. Anyway, in this scene, there you are in your ragtag clothes and weapons facing the enemy, that the English dictator is coming at you with an unbelievably superior army. I mean, it looks like death. And the Scots are afraid. They're scared. And when I start the scene, I'm going to start playing the clip. One of the Scots, who later would prove to be incredibly brave, he says, listen to him. He says, I'm not dying for these bastards. Because they look at the army facing them, it looks like suicide to fight against this army. So William Wallace has got to motivate them to get them ready to fight a what looks like a hopeless battle. And by the way, just for, in case any of you don't know, the Scots destroyed the English army. They destroyed it because William Wallace motivated them in the same way that Donald Trump has motivated us. And read William Wallace's life. Everything he did was not perfect. And if we had thrown off William Wallace because he wasn't perfect, listen to the story. Listen to what happens here. I hope you've seen it, because then you can see it in your mind's eye. But listen to this. This is wonderful. It starts with the Scotsman who says, we're not dying for these bastards. Let's go home, boys. Okay, here we go.
All right, lads. I'm not dying for these bastards. Let's go home!
Let's go home! Here comes William Wallace on his horse. They're turning around. They're going home. They're giving up.
God, man, do not leave! Wait until we've negotiated!
Now, that wasn't William Wallace. Here comes William Wallace now. Blue face paint. One of the greatest men who's ever lived. Now he rides in front of his just demoralized troops. He just arrived on the battlefield. Bright red hair. Huge English army. He's looking at it for the first time. Now he turns to his troops.
Oh, your wallets.
That'll be control it up.
They're not sure it's William Wallace. Now he's in front of them. He's got to turn this whole army around. He's got to turn you.
The Almighty says this must be a fashionable fight. It's drawn the finest people. Where is thy salute? For presenting yourselves on this battlefield. I give you thanks. This is our army. To join it, you give homage.
I give homage to Scotland.
And
this is your army. Why does it go? We didn't come here to fight for them.
Oh, the English are too many.
Sons of Scotland. I am William Wallace.
Oh, your Wallace is 7 feet tall.
Yes, I've heard.
Especially when he calls me.
Killed men by the hundred. And if he were here, he could consume the English with fireballs from his eyes and bolts of lightning from his arse. I am William Wallace. And I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as three men. Three men you are. What will you do without freedom? Will you fight?
They say no, no.
We will run.
We will run.
We will live. Alright. Fight and you may die. Run. You'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
He's won over the army. He's won over the army. And that last line, I don't know if you could hear it. He said, they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom. And that line won over his army. And with that, they charged and beat the hell out of the tyrant's army. And that's where it's very analogous to our situation today, folks. The enemy arrayed against us is extremely, extremely powerful. And what do we have? What do we have? They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom. We have our freedom. The enemy, remember, the enemy, these are all slave mongers. These are all pieces of crap. They don't have freedom. We have freedom. They don't even know what freedom is. So we have something to fight for. We are the good people. And Jason, I hope you enjoyed that, and I hope you go see the movie, get it online on your computer. But now, Jason, go to your thoughts.
A great movie. I actually did see it years and years ago. I've been a Mel Gibson fan since I was a kid, basically, since he's been around for so long, especially when he called Winona Ryder an oven dodger. Oh, my God, hilariousness. But I was calling in to say, I've been listening to you for a lot of years. This is the first time I ever called in. The guy you were arguing with, that other caller, Mitch or whatever he calls himself, as
Mitch
far as
Memphis,
I can tell,
because
he calls into multiple shows and he does the same thing. He asks these extremely long-winded leading questions, sometimes two and even three in a row. I think just waste the time of the host and other listeners that might call in or whatnot. So as far as I could tell, I think the guy's a paid shill. And if John's going to ban Murr, who had lots of great things to say just because she pissed him off, then people like Mitch should probably be banned too, because most of his points are easily debunkable nonsense, as you easily handle him. But if he's not a paid operative, then your earlier assessment of him a week or two ago calling him idiot is correct, because he should get paid if he's doing such a good job at it, you know?
Okay, Jason, I'm not going to be hard on people and so on. I'll go all over the map here on telling people, you know, giving them credit, then chewing them out, and give them credit, then chew them out. And, you know, this is all, it's part of what radio is, in any event, I'm always willing to, you know, if somebody is on our team, I never want, you know, we've got to keep our team together. And so one of the things that we Scotsmen do, and all of you out there in this audience, whether you know it or not, you're all Scotsmen. You're all ornery people who, as George Washington noted in his army at Valley Forge, do you know who the people who fought in the American Revolution were? They were the Scots. Not the people that had it easy. Not the people from the plantations, like Washington himself. The people who fought like hell against impossible odds in the snow with bare feet were these incredible Scotsmen who really were Scotsmen from Scotland. They were the descendants of William Wallace's army. And they found themselves in the foothills of what became West Virginia later, and Virginia and North Carolina. Washington got 25% of his troops out of those hills. And he said, these are the guys that won the war, because they wouldn't give up. They fought like hell with inferior weapons, and they beat the greatest army in the world, which in this case was once again the English army, led by the English king, George III. So here we are. Here we Americans are because of those ancestors of ours. And we've got to live up to the kind of people they were on the field with William Wallace, at Valley Forge with George Washington. And now the fight we're fighting, Jason, I think the fight we fight now is much greater than William Wallace's fight, far more consequential. If Wallace had lost, freedom would not have been lost. If Washington had been defeated at the Battle of Long Island, had Cornwallis won, and, you know, General Howe, had they won at the Battle of Long Island, the American Revolution would have been over. Freedom would not have been lost. We would have ended up like Canada. We'd still be a free nation today. But I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, the battle you're in today, this one is for freedom. If we lose this battle, freedom is toast on planet Earth. You won't see freedom on Earth. If we are defeated by the Anthony Fauci army,
hello.
Sorry, folks. I was flailing around on my keyboard, waving my hands, and I hit the mute button. I'm sorry. So anyway, I'm getting too verbose here. So Jason, give me kind of a more of your own thought, and then we're going to go to John in Missouri.
Sure. Thanks. I'd just like to say, since you brought up and played that clip from Mel Gibson, I'm actually of German descent, not Scottish, but my best friend is. He's got long red hair, squished face. He's missing everything but the kilt and the two-handed broadsword. But that's something they couldn't put in the movie, was the fact that the Romans were terrified of the Scottish warriors. These berserkers were literally completely naked, painted in blue, with nothing but the sword, and running down there with big swaths, just chopping off multiple heads or multiple legs at once. I mean, anybody that can terrify the smart bomb of the ancient world, which is the Roman army, are obviously a terrifying and ferocious people. And I hope we don't ever let that spirit be bred out into, I don't know, the muddying of the waters, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. But We need more Scotsmen. We need more Germans. We need more pure white people.
And Jason, let me tell you, my middle name is in German. My middle name is German, is Walrot, or pronounced Walrath among English speakers. And I have actually as much, maybe a little less, but I have a lot of German blood. And I'm with you. German sits in my driver's license in my middle name. Whole branches of my family are from Deutschland. And an incredible warrior people. I mean, we Europeans are something else, there's no European people of which you can make fun. I mean, the Greeks at Thermopylae, what men and what women, and back in Sparta, and the Frenchmen who fought against the Arabs in 721 AD, the incredible armies, the incredible people of Europe. All of us Europeans are unbelievable. We're the most beautiful thing that has ever appeared in the universe. That's an interesting little truism. I don't say it often enough on this show. You'll read it in a book I'm going to write, folks. Question: what's the most beautiful thing in the universe? And I'll answer that question: the European people. That is the greatest gift to the universe. The most beautiful thing in the universe is the European people. We've done more for beauty, for freedom, for truth. We invented everything. We invented every science that is, every great machine or device ever invented. And more importantly, every principle of freedom was invented by the European people, and no one else. Didn't come out of China, didn't come out of Africa, didn't come out of Indo-American South America, didn't come out of India. All of it, every idea of freedom, the whole idea of freedom of speech, the idea of individual rights, that doesn't even exist in other civilizations. The Chinese never had such a concept. Individual rights? What's that? What's that, Fung Hua? What you talk about, individual rights? What is that? That idea doesn't exist in Africa. Slavery still exists in Africa, among African tribes. We invented the idea of freedom. On that battlefield, William Wallace, they can take our lives, but they can't take our freedom. For that idea was born in the mind of European man. And Donald Trump said it very well in 2017, his speech. I know I refer to it often, in Krasinski Square in the middle of Warsaw. Donald Trump said, the question is, do we have the will to defend European civilization? Wow. It's all right in that sense, folks. Everything I just said is all contained in that little kernel. Do we have the will, that is the question, to defend European civilization? And that's what William Wallace was asking his troops there on that hill in Scotland. Do you have the will to defend your freedom at the risk of your life? And, so Donald Trump is our William Wallace. It'd be great if at one of his rallies, Donald Trump would come out. He's got that great suit and, that great red tie. Wouldn't it be great, Jason? He is quite a showman if he'd come out with a blue painted face.
Yeah, that would be something.
That would be a hell of a thing. I'll tell you what, the crowd would go berserk. And he does. I mean, that is, he is our William Wallace. And we've got to, we have to stay with the guy that brought us this far. And my point is this, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a Donald Trump toady. I'm not a Donald Trump groupie. I'm not a little junior high girl with a picture of who's that guy they worship, on my wall. No, I love Donald Trump because I am absolutely convinced with every fiber of my being he is the real thing. And he does love us and our freedom. And he is, Another thing I respect about Donald Trump, and think about this, folks, this isn't fun for Donald Trump. He is risking, and I'll tell you the hard part, it's not risking his own life. I don't think he has that much trouble with that. He is risking his life every time he gets in a helicopter, every time he gets in a plane. You think these enemies can't shoot him down? You don't think they can hit his limo? You know, they call it the beast. You know, I've watched the presidential limo go by. You know, I've stood only a few feet away from Donald Trump's beast when it was only a few feet away in Fargo, North Dakota. Okay. You think the enemy can't take that car out? And you don't think Donald Trump doesn't know that? You think that car is like, you know, immortal and impervious? No, it's not. He is at such great risk of being assassinated, of being blown up. I don't think he has a problem with that. No more than William Wallace did when he was being tortured to death at the end of that movie, Braveheart. But William, what did William Wallace have a problem with? You remember what his problem was, Jason? What really got his blood boiling and why he fought so desperately? It wasn't for his own safety.
I forget the specific reason. I mean, the general oppression of the British, of course.
They killed his family. They killed his family.
Oh.
They killed his family. And that's why William Wallace would, nothing could stop him. Only death could stop him. And that's what all of you out there in the audience, I know it's not your personal safety, it's your children. It's your loved ones. It's your family. You will fight for that. And Donald Trump is doing that right now. And I'm sure he worries about his son, Barron, and his wife, Melania. He worries about them. Himself, I think he's, you know, hey, I'm in this. I may lose my life. It's worth it. So anyway, but Jason, thank you for listening to the show all those years. I should give you some kind of an award. If you want me to sign anything, send it to me. I love you, brother.
Hey, thanks. I've heard probably almost every show, but I don't know about all of them.
Do you want my phone number? Jason, let me give you my phone number. You got a pencil handy?
Yeah, go for it.
It's 701-317-5317. You can call me anytime, and I don't answer most phone calls because phone calls are so bad nowadays, but I'll try to look for Arizona in a phone call, and I'll pick it up. And if I don't, just keep trying.
I'm a 520 area code, but okay. I just wanted to say this war we're in isn't just a physical war. It's a war of words and ideas as well. So it's why your show is so important, and as well as other shows and everything. Even just stupid things like stereotypes. Like I grew up with a stereotype about Polish people being so stupid and all the Polak jokes, only to find out later in life that the European stereotype is that the Polish women are so beautiful. And that's their stereotype.
They are.
So they
are.
Yeah, they're going to take anything positive and twist it into something negative. So we need voices out there to try and counter that, which I thank you for.
Thank you, Jason. And John in Missouri, please call next week. I didn't get you into the show. John's our greatest call ever. A salute to you, John, as we fade off into the sunset. See you next week, folks. Hold on to that feeling.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic.